honeymooners at last alone, feeling far above par.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, February 22nd, 2012. You're listening to the Brain Labor Report.
We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
And it's time we started calling the shots. Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon's solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood. The list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, calling the shots. When they boost your copay,
war on the workers.
Don't you know what to say?
War on the workers.
When they talk privatization,
war on the workers.
And cooperation,
war on the workers.
When they call you a team,
war on the workers.
You better learn how to scream.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war. Flexibility.
War on the workers.
Every working stiff can see.
War on the workers.
Now when they poison your water.
War on the workers.
Don't pull like lambs to the slaughter.
War on the workers.
And when they foul up the air.
War on the workers.
You gotta show that you care.
War on the workers.
When they talk WTO.
War on the workers.
You best be screaming hell no. It's a war on child labor protection. It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on social security. Now thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Yeah, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time, sisters and brothers, you know it's time right now. I said it's time. We started calling the shots.
It's about time we started calling the shots. That's right. That's Ann Feeney, and that's the War on the Workers, and this is the Brain Labor Report. This is Wes Brain. I'm host of the show.
This is Jason Houck. I'm the engineer.
Coming to you this cold, foggy, ooh, it is cool out there. It's starting to act like winter again. February 22nd, it is Wednesday morning. Brain Labor Report comes to you. We're a weekly show now every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. If you're listening to us driving around in your car, you're listening to KSKQ Radio at 89.5 FM, streaming on the airwaves anywhere on the internet, www.kskq.org. Okay, our show, just briefly, we talk about the struggles of ordinary working people. It's tough out there. There's a war on workers. as Ann Feeney tells us. And our communities are divided. The rich are getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer. We talk about these issues on the Brain Labor Report. We talk about those issues that divide us. We also talk about some wonderful things that are bringing us together. Certainly, we've talked a bit about the Occupy movement and what that's done, brought some changes to the way we talk about things. And, well, all of us in the studio today are 99 percenters, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the 1 percenters and the war on the workers. Always near the top of the hour-long show, the Brain Labor Report, we bring you the Workers Independent News out of Madison, Wisconsin. This news you are not going to hear on mainstream media. So for Wednesday, February 22nd, 2012, here's the Workers Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Led by the record profit of $6.7 billion for GM, the U.S. auto industry is pumping significant money into the Midwestern U.S. economy. UAW workers at GM are getting bonuses of as much as $7,000, money which they will then pump back into local economies. Workers will get the money March 2nd. Ford and Chrysler also paid bonuses to their union workers, helping to give the economy a much-needed boost. States where union auto plants are located are seeing economies growing faster than the national average. Because the U.S. auto industry was saved with government intervention, Michigan's economy is expected to lead all other states in economic growth in the next 6 months. Donald Grimes, a University of Michigan labor and economics researcher, says that's a reversal from the first half of the 2000s. More money in auto workers' pockets is also helping local businesses where the auto plants are located. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka is in California to highlight and support the struggles of low-wage immigrant workers. Under Trumka, the AFL-CIO has forged new partnerships with day laborers, domestic workers, and workers' centers outside the traditional labor federation structure. SEIU is joining civil rights and immigrant rights advocates in a coordinated effort to urge repeal of a law that SEIU considers racist. Alabama's new immigration law, SEIU says, has legitimized racial profiling, terrorizing people of color throughout the state. In 2 weeks, SEIU will participate in a week-long series of events against the immigration law. SEIU says it believes the law, HB 56, takes Alabama back to a time of violent discrimination against people of color. Was it greed or other factors that killed two workers in a New York City crane collapse? Jesse Russell reports.
Testimony began Tuesday over a 2008 New York City crane collapse that led to the death of two workers. A prosecutor argued in opening statements that greed was responsible for the collapse. Manhattan Assistant District Attorney Eli Cherkaski alleged company owner James Loma cut corners to save money on a welding job that led to the Upper East Side deaths. However, the defense has alleged the welding on the crane had been done properly, and the actual reason for the collapse was due to the crane being extended too high. The collapse was one of two crane accidents on Manhattan in 2008. The first took the lives of seven workers.
This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part by ULICO, the Union Labor Life Insurance Company, and by OPEIU. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And again, you're listening to the Brain Labor Report this 22nd of February, 2012. Okay, here we are, cold in the studio in Ashland, Oregon. We are going to introduce a couple in-studio guests right now. And joining Jason, our engineer, and myself, Wes Brain, on the Brain Labor Report, we have Sarah and Henry. And welcome. Welcome, you guys, both of you.
Hi, great to be here.
Thank you, Wes.
And I said your first name. I'll ask you to just briefly tell me your full name and tell me just a little bit about yourself. We'll have a conversation with you today about, I think it's going to be about corporate greed. But first, Henry, would you tell us about yourself, please?
I'm Henry Steelhammer. I work with OSPRG, the Oregon Student Public Interest Research Group. We work to research problems, educate the public, and advocate for solutions to many of the public issues plaguing society and culture today. And I'm working with our Citizens United campaign, working to end corporate personhood.
Very, very good. Now, you are at Southern Oregon University, right?
Yes, most certainly.
Okay. Sarah, we do gender differently here. Women are second. Please go ahead, Sarah.
Great. My name is Sarah Rudin, and I am a former student of SOU, and I have been involved with Occupy Ashland since the Solidarity Rally on October 6th, 2011, and I'm just working on all sorts of things with Occupy, and we're teaming up with Osberg to put on this event coming up in March.
We are going to talk about that, and I hope today we'll talk more about the Occupy movement and maybe some of the other things that Osberg is involved with and what you're doing too. Why don't we start with that, and you guys tell me what is being planned for March 4th, and maybe why should we be planning something for March 4th, okay?
We've got a March 4th on March 4th. It's a candlelight vigil for the death of free and fair elections due to money's influence in politics. And so we're going to be marching down Siskiyou Boulevard, going to go straight down through the plaza, end up at the Bandshell. We're going to have a bunch of speakers there, live music. It's going to be a big event raising awareness about corporate personhood and the problems that it's caused.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a lot to take on, I'm telling you. And let me, Henry, this is being organized by Osberg, the student organization, one of the PERGs at Southern Oregon University. And so how's that going? Has it been a smooth sail doing this, organizing?
It's gone somewhat smoothly so far. We've had a couple of setbacks recently. We went and tried to get our First Amendment freedom to assemble rights recognized at city council, so we wouldn't have to pay hefty fees to march down Siskiyou and do this free speech protest, and unfortunately they turned down our proposal, and so we have to change our plans a little bit. But other than that, we've got a lot of things going on right now, getting this all set up. We're getting spaces all set up. We're getting permits all signed.
Sounds good. A little frustration over the right to assembly. I know that takes place all across the country. It really does. It's one of those things being attacked by the Patriot Act and other things, too. Sarah, tell us about your involvement in planning for, we're going to focus on March 4th, on March 4th.
Well, my involvement isn't a whole lot, although I am involved with the action and outreach committees of Occupy Ashland. So we're just helping Osberg advertise and just giving whatever support we can to help the event be successful.
For those listening, and we say Occupy Ashland, I know there's an Occupy Medford just a few miles north of us. Sarah, tell us a little bit, maybe, I don't know, who could be listening who's never heard of the Occupy movement, but maybe let's just say they haven't. Sarah, tell us about the Occupy movement and what Occupy Ashland's been up to since
October 6th, 2011. Okay. Yeah. Gosh, where do I start? Occupy is really a global movement now. People are coming out to the streets for all sorts of reasons, and most of those are... Oh, gosh. I don't even know how to talk about it. well, money in politics. That's one of the top
It's our issue today
issues.
We're talking
that's
about,
one of our
isn't
top
it?
Issues.
Fundamentally, I know that occupation is about, okay, 99% and the 1%ers, right? Who is it sitting in this room right here, Sarah?
Right.
Who are we?
Huh? You know, I don't really like using the 99% because for me it is about humanity. It's about the 100%, and it's about highlighting some of the corruptions that have happened in our political system, and even beyond that, I think corruption in financial systems, these large structures that just have a lot of ills that are, you know, affecting the everyone, I guess.
Affecting our democracy,
our democracy,
would you say, huh?
Absolutely. And so from that, since the October 6th rally that we had on the Ashland Plaza, I think that brought in about 300 people, we kicked off with some speeches about why we're out there. And since then, we've held all sorts of events, rallies, in Medford, we've had things called think tanks, mm-hmm. which are basically a space for people to sit down and talk about what are we out here for and what are the issues.
Very good.
Creating a narrative for the Occupy movement. And we have committee meetings. We have all sorts of committees. And we just launched our new website. We've had one up for a while, but just put together a really great one that's way more interactive. And you can find
that. Is that OccupyAshland.org? Is that
it? Is OccupyAshland.org. You can also still access it from OccupyAshlandOregon.org, as our old one was.
Okay.
But it's a little bit shorter. So, yeah, there's tons of forum space and all sorts of articles to learn about why we occupy.
Very good. Well, I know that Jason and I have been spent a little time with Occupy Ashland, been over to Medford, too. And, Sarah, I see you oftentimes with a computer in front of you taking notes. And there is a pretty darn good record mm-hmm. of the general assemblies that have taken place here. Anyone can go to the website and really research and look over time how decisions have been made and whatnot. And so has that been a pretty good, easy job doing the note-taking?
Oh, you know, it's not too bad. I have a little bit of training. I've had some office jobs. So I just kind of took that on so that we have a record of the decisions that were made at our general assemblies, because it is consensus-based, and all the decisions that are made by the people who are in attendance. So things can pass one day and not pass the other, just depending on who's there.
Direct democracy has been interesting, and but I got to tell you though, if I can't make it to a meeting, I go there and I read about it, and I think I know other people do the same thing. It's a way for us to keep connected. And Henry, I want to ask you about Occupy Ashland. Have you been involved with that? And some thoughts about Occupy Ashland, and then let's move into talking more about the corporate greed folks and all of that. Occupy Ashland, your involvement with it. Henry?
Well, I've just recently become part of the Ashland community, and I moved down about 3 months ago and gotten start really hard working.
Where are you from?
I moved down from Seattle, Washington, where I've been helping out there with the Occupy Seattle movement up there. And I've come down and seen the Occupy Ashland movement, and I'm really impressed with a lot of their meetings. I sat in on a couple of them, and it runs very smoothly. It's a very democratic process, and I really respect what they try to do there, and I'm very impressed by their organization.
You know, I remember back, I'm going to say September 17th might have been the date, but there was a community gathering of sorts down in the plaza. I hope I have the date right, Sarah. We could look
there
in the records, huh? But I remember at the end of that meeting, there was a call out for, well, people were looking at Washington, D.C. Occupy, Wall Street Occupy. There was a buzz going on, and students here in Southern Oregon had been, well, connected with that buzz. And so we started, I remember the date very well in my mind, it was September 17th, and back before the occupation in the plaza, there was a lot of organizing that went on. There was a wide tent that was thrown out, too, and I thought that was so, so cool. Sarah, you were part of that organizing back then, yes, no, you were not, okay?
I was not, no, I was working in Colorado.
okay. Well, that organizing way back before, month before, and maybe earlier in the summer, really laid the way, I think. Henry, you pointed out the organizing and how smooth you thought things were. A lot of work went into that from what I saw. Seattle, and so were you, before you came down here, you said you were involved with Occupy up in Seattle. Quick overview of what you saw up there.
I stopped by a couple of times when they were protesting in the Pike Street area near the Westlake Center Mall, and that was where a lot of their early stuff happened before they moved up onto Capitol Hill. And there, it was a very community effort to do it, and when it was a busy day, you could see just hundreds and hundreds of people down there protesting, and I thought it was a very beautiful thing to see a bunch of people join together in saying that something needs to change, and we are not okay with what has been going on against us, the people who are supposed to be representative of the population of the U.S. And I think that's a very powerful message that a lot of people in the United States can get behind, of this is not okay anymore.
Yeah, yeah. At the last General Assembly, we had a report from one of our own who'd taken a trip down to Southern California. I thought this report was great. Were you guys there to both hear this? And we got a report about different occupations in different cities in California, mainly, I guess it was. And I guess the take-home message was this. She said, you know what? Every one of these occupies has the very same agenda, the very same struggles, the very same kinds of people are coming together. She did go on to say the demographics, now that I'm remembering, were different in different areas, as you might be not be surprised to hear. In poor areas, there were more poor people and homeless people. But do you remember that? And I thought that was really, really came home, didn't it?
That was great. Yeah, Raven gave... Yeah. Yep, she gave a great report. She did a little investigative work for her own benefit, but mostly for Occupy Ashland. And what she was looking into was, how occupations were going, but how occupies were managing their finances, because we do get a little bit of donations coming in. And the other was... what occupations and cities are doing with the homeless population, and you know, things like shelters and basically how those are managed, because we're she's involved with putting a solution together for Ashland related to that.
Very good. Well, that's a report on what's happening with Occupy Ashland. And you're listening to KSKQ 89.5 FM here in Ashland, Oregon, streaming at How many W's we got? www.kskq.org. And glad to have you on the Brain Labor Report this morning. We've got a good conversation going. We've got Henry and Sarah in the studio here in Ashland. We're talking about Occupy Ashland, the occupation movement. We're talking about, I hope we'll get a little more into it now, the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. Some call it the 1% and the 99%. Sarah says, hey, we're 100% of us. We got to figure out how to work together. We want to focus on the differences and the wide, wide disparity growing still between those who have and those who don't. Henry, tell us maybe a little bit more about that and the vision for March 4th on March 4th.
Well, the vision for March 4th on March 4th is that... due to some rulings by the Supreme Court, free speech and money have been linked, and money has been recognized as free speech. And this has become a problem with corporations being recognized as persons by our United States democracy. And the reason this happened is because it was an easy way to say corporations can own property and buy and sell goods.
Yeah.
And so this shortcut, unfortunately, has led to the free speech and money issue, those linked together to create the problem of it just wiped out years and years and years of precedent where we had set very strict limitations on how much somebody can donate to a super PAC to fund campaigns. And so this has only become a problem recently because so many of these corporations and wealthy individuals are donating to these super PACs, and unfortunately this gives them a slightly heightened position of perspective to important politicians, legislators, stuff like that, who need to get reelected and need money to get reelected. And we actually released a report. Our state organization of Augsburg has released several reports recently about the super PAC fundraising, and one of the things they found is that 55.6% of donations to super PACs are from individuals. And unfortunately, this is 0.00232% of the population is donating $10,000 or more, and that's making up about 93% of those, that 55.6%. And this is a problem because these wealthy individuals get a lot of say then in what issues they think are important. And we found that in a survey, a lot of issues that the wealthy individuals see as important is a lot different than what the general public find important.
Right, right, right. Sustainability is one of those buzzwords, and I suspect sustainability means something to the CEO of AT&T, much different than somebody homeless in Ashland, Oregon, don't you think, Sarah? That word is thrown out there, and it's used to, it means different things to different people. You threw out a lot of numbers there. Boy, it took a math person to figure this out. Now, I guess I get out of it when you said 0.00, and you were going way out there. You were talking about very, very few people are donating big, big bucks, and added up, that's the bulk of the bucks that's buying elections. Is that the take-home message out of all those numbers?
Well, we can't say that these are buying elections necessarily, okay, but we can say that this has got to have some effect on how a politician sees it. If they're saying, well, we're getting all these money from these super PACs who are representing these things that we have probably got to think about, since these are important issues.
So with the Citizens United and the Supreme Court, by the way, a split decision, we choose presidents the same way with the Supreme Court, a split decision, think about that, folks. And this was, let's see, corporations are people. Okay, there's four of us in the studio right now. I want to suggest that if we went to four different fourth grade classes here in Ashland, Oregon, and took surveys amongst fourth graders, I'm going to suggest that if we ask them the simple question, are corporations people, what do you guys think the fourth graders might say? Just think. What do you think?
Probably not. I've heard anecdotes that kids will say, well, when asked if corporations have belly buttons, they say no.
Okay, the belly button test. Okay, well, maybe that's what we ought. Ann Feeney, she talks about the belly button test. She says that ought to be the test on whether you're a person or not. Kind of a silly thing to go talk to fourth graders, and but it does get to the heart of this. Any thoughts on what do you think about corporations being people, Henry?
Well, I think it's a funny concept because not only it was shortened so that they could buy and sell property, own land, but one of the things that was interesting is they can't marry, they can't adopt children, which I think would be an interesting idea to bring an orphanage to a corporation and say, okay, let's see you adopt a child or enlist them in the army, perhaps.
Wow, yeah. That's a different twist. They live forever. What about that one, huh, Sarah?
I was just about to point that out, actually. Yeah, corporations can live forever, and they also can't necessarily be jailed for wrongdoings or others. So
they really are formed to protect people, ones with belly buttons, who, in fact, to protect them from, well, from us, it seems like. Now, we do bail out corporations. We find that corporations don't like socialism. They spend a lot of time telling us that on the mainstream media. Yet, they do support socialism. It's for corporations. What about that? Any comments, you guys? They take a lot of our public money, don't they?
Well,
the bailout as an example.
Yeah, huh? It's interesting that corporations are not only given money, but they're also given the same rights, protecting their freedoms as normal people too. So a lot of the things that we can't do to another person, slander them, we can't do that to corporations either. So they're given special benefits that we don't necessarily receive, but they also get the same benefits that we receive. There's no equality across the board of a person and a person because they're working to give more to these corporations.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure. If we want to talk about money, I've looked up some facts on this, and just to focus on one institution, Goldman Sachs, they received $10 billion in 2008 bailout.
Whoa.
And, right. And in the 2011-2012 cycle of contributions to super PACs, Goldman Sachs is one of the top contributors. They've already given over $3 million to candidates. So, you know, they're receiving money from the public and also spending it back to support specific candidates.
Wow. We're going to continue our conversation here in a little bit. We're about halfway through the Brain Labor Report this morning. KSKQ 89.5 FM, listening to us anywhere, streaming www.kskq.org. We do play some tunes on the Brain Labor Report. We like to highlight artists, local, sometimes famous artists. We had recently in the state of Oregon, the Vermont Workers Center, we had three workers tour Oregon, went to 11 cities and told us how they did it in Vermont. Did what? They passed legislation based on health care as a human right. And we're very, very inspired with what they did, how they did it. In fact, the state of Oregon is seeking to do the same thing. When they visited us here in Southern Oregon, Sarah and Kate from the Workers' Center, Vermont Workers' Center, they left us a CD. All of that to lead up this song we're going to play right now. It's called Never Learn. This CD was a compilation of artists, I think, in and around Vermont, but who helped them with their Healthcare as a Human Right program. So they gave us the CD, and we want you to hear the song right now. Never Learn by The Devil Makes Three. Okay, here we go.
Let all them hounds off of the leashes.
Okay, this is the Brain Labor Report. Don't know what you're hearing out there in the studio. It looks like you might not be hearing the music right now. So we're back on the air talking to you, and maybe we'll hear the end of that song in a little bit.
Ain't never gonna learn.
AM on the 22nd February 2012. And we have music going on.
You can watch them as they circle, like them vultures in the sky, waiting now just so patiently for every breathing soul to die. Yes, they feed off of your blood, child, as it flows out of your veins. It ain't about what you have lost now, only what they have gained. Yes, I guess I see. They ain't doing nothing here but living off of you and me. Well, yes, this, I guess I know. There ain't no place left on this earth that I could call my own in. Yes, I hope I see the day we all wake up and stop them ships upon the sea. Well, hallelujah. Let it all just burn. Cause they ain't the type of listening, and they sure ain't never gonna learn. Yes, I guess I see. They ain't doing nothing here but living off of you and me. Well, yes, I guess I know. There ain't no place left on this earth that you could call your own. And yes, I hope I see the day we all wake up and get up off our bended knees. Well, hallelujah. Let it all just burn. Cause they ain't the type for listening, and they sure ain't never gonna learn.
Okay, Never Learn, The Devil Makes Three. That's off a CD called Care for All, Musicians for Healthcare. This is a benefit CD for the Vermont Workers' Center. Healthcare is a human right, and this is the Brain Labor Report. Don't know if you heard all that song. There could have been a little dead air. We couldn't tell here in the studio, looking at our dials and whatnot. But you are listening to the Brain Labor Report right now. It's 9:36 a.m., February 22nd, 2012. We have Henry and Sarah in the studio with Jason and Wes this morning, and we've been discussing the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Henry's with Osberg, and he's telling us about some of the research being done through that student organization here locally at Southern Oregon University. We're talking also with Sarah, been telling us about Occupy Ashland and some of the great work coming out of Southern Oregon. Okay, while we were listening to that song, we were still chatting here, and Henry was talking a little bit about his recent work here in Oregon, these corporations, about taxing and lobbying. And tell us about that, Henry, please.
Well, one of the things we found is we just did a recent report, our state organization did, and they looked into how much corporations are paying in taxes versus how much they are paying in lobbying fees to pay their lobbyists to represent their interests. And one of the interesting things is we came up with a list of the Dirty 30. They are the corporations that pay the least amount in federal taxes but pay the most in lobbying, which is interesting because a lot of these corporations we found were getting more in tax returns than they were actually paying. They were making a profit in tax returns, and we found this a very interesting thing, that they were getting a lot of tax returns and also having a lot of people being paid to lobby for them in our government.
Whoa, what would Thomas Jefferson say about that, huh? That's scary. So were they all corporations that do business in Oregon? Are they chartered in Oregon? Tell us some of these corporations and tell us what's going on with them here.
Well, we have a list online. If you go to osberg.org, you can find the reports there. It's online there. But some of these are the Pepco Holdings, General Electric, Duke Energy, FedEx. FedEx we actually found was paying some taxes in the millions, and they're the bottom of our Dirty 30 list. But we have a lot on here, and it's impressive, some of the figures you'll see, because in total it's more than $10 billion that is being paid to them without getting taxes paid.
Wow. Well, maybe this is why I get put on hold when I try to call my congressman. There might be somebody ahead of me on the telephone call, I'll bet you, huh? Is that how it works? That is how it works, and that's why we're talking about this today, is how can you and I, Sarah and Henry, how can we have a voice in Congress when we're up against this, really? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah.
You ever called a congressman, you guys? Have you done that before? Have you done the lobbying? It's interesting. It's fun. And you do get put on hold sometimes. I do know that.
It's interesting. They have very tight schedules, and you have to fit yourself in there sometime between a bunch of other people representing other people. And it's... they have very tight schedules to do that, too, so it's hard to get your voice heard sometimes.
Okay.
And that's kind of what March 4th on March 4th is about.
Well, let's talk about that, because some of us do have belly buttons, and some of us are going to be marching those belly buttons right here in Ashland, Oregon. Tell us about that, Sarah.
Sure. On March 4th, we're hosting a march down to the Ashland Plaza for a candlelight vigil mourning the death of free and fair elections in the United States, due to the influence of big money in politics. And that is kicking off at 4:30 at Southern Oregon University in front of the Stevenson Union Building.
Yes.
We'll be marching at 5 o'clock down Siskiyou Boulevard down to the Ashland Plaza. And then following that up with some music at the Lithia Park Bandshell.
Sounds really good. I talked to Tom. I know he's with Osberg over at the university, Henry, and I told him yesterday, I said, we've got this coffin, I told him. I said, this coffin is available. I said, we need four strong people, probably dressed in black, to carry this thing. It was made recently for Occupy Ashland and Medford events, I think the Move to Amend event. So anyway, I want to tell you, we got this coffin, and we need some help with four pallbearers to carry the thing. The coffin's called...
Corporate Vampire.
Yeah.
Written on the side, and I got to carry that at one of our events in Medford, calling for the end of corporate personhood. And there's not actually anything in there, because imagine that. There's no person to put in the casket.
And that symbolizes what? What? There's no real people behind corporations? Is that the idea? Or?
Well, there are people, but the corporation as an entity shouldn't have the same rights as people, and cannot be killed. As you said, they can live on indefinitely.
Very good. So that's part of, I know what you'll see, is we will be strutting down the street with that coffin, and it does represent the corporate personhood that we are all fighting right now. Okay, March 4th on March 4th. If you showed up for this, what would you expect to see and to learn? And I guess part of that question is, what do we expect to come out of it, too, in the end? So, some more comments, please.
Yeah, we're expecting at least 500 people to show up, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we got 500 candles that we're going to be lighting up. We had to get a permit for that. And we're going to be marching down with these candles down the street, 500 people, lots of posters, and we're going to be going down. We're going to have David Cobb speaking. He was,
oh, great.
Yeah, he's the CEO of the Move to Amend, who are really against the Citizens United.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we're working with him. We're going to have a bunch of other speakers, and we've got two bands signed up. We still have a third that we're asking around and getting set up, but it's going to be really big, and it's going to be going as soon as the sun goes down with all the candles going down Siskiyou. You should see us walking down if you're driving home around that time, because we're going to be taking up a couple lanes of that street.
coming out of Southern Oregon University in Augsburg is where this seed is originating, and sounds like pretty good work you're doing over there, particularly the research stuff. I'm interested in that, and we got to follow this. We got to follow the people without the belly buttons and find out what the heck's going on. They're stealing our democracy. What do you expect to come out of this? I 500 people, that'd be great if we show that many folks, but then what are we going to do with that, and what's going to happen next? What's your vision down the road, you guys? What do you think?
Well, we're hoping more and more people get active in their government and talk to their legislators about having their views represented too, because we can't do this alone, and a lot of people don't know that all this is going on with all the lobbying done by corporations and all the benefits that corporations are getting, and we need the people to be as vocal as the corporations are being with their money, and we're hoping that this raises awareness of the problem and encourages the community, Ashland, the United States, to work more effectively in getting involved with their government and the process that it's going through right now.
Wow. Fighting for our democracy is what it comes down to, isn't it? I think Thomas Jefferson would be proud. He'd be out there with us, wouldn't he? Huh?
Yeah. And one of the campaigns out there that's been going for a couple of years since the ruling of Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission, there's something called Move to Amend, which we mentioned. David Cobb was one of the co-founders. Mm-hmm. And I'll just read their proclamation here, that they're hoping to amend the U.S. Constitution to declare that we, the people of the United States of America, reject the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling and move to amend our Constitution to firmly establish the money is not speech, and that human beings, not corporations, are persons entitled to constitutional rights.
Wow.
So that's something you can jump on board with. That's got a lot of momentum, and here in Ashland, we've brought that to our city council to discuss and perhaps pass a resolution.
That's happening around the country. I know. I think they did it in Portland. There are various cities that are passing resolutions that basically say it's the belly button test thing, isn't it? It's the corporations are not people. And what's happened in Ashland? Now wait a minute, Ashland. That's pretty well run by the Chamber of Commerce. They wouldn't pass such a thing, would they? Do you guys think they would? What do you think?
Well, I don't know about that, but I was at the city council meeting last night, and the city council did not support the staffers coming up with a resolution that supports amending the Constitution to deny corporate personhood. However, they did pass, basically they directed staff to write a resolution that is more on the money is not speech side. So the lines are kind of blurred. It's not necessarily supporting the Move to Amend campaign, but it's something, and I'm not sure what's going to come out of it, but that resolution, I think, will be coming back to City Council.
So if I understand the process right, in the city, there'll be an opportunity for people to speak to this, pro and con. And so, well, if it is too weak, if it doesn't mention belly buttons, right, a test, or if it is, doesn't do what we want it to do and be strong enough to help support the Move to Amend, well, we'll have an opportunity to try to amend it and make it stronger. Is that the idea?
Yeah, well, and there's also the possibility of bringing the proposal that we brought to City Council up for a ballot initiative, and then the citizens of Ashland can vote on that directly.
Here's a thought I've had for a while. It's 9:47, 9:48. The clock is ticking. You're listening to KSKQ 89.5 FM. It's a Brain Labor Report. Good conversation this morning about Citizens United, about the rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer. And I just forgot what I was going to say. We have in the studio both Sarah Rudine and Henry Steelhammer. We're talking about events right around the corner where we're going to call attention to, well, how our democracy's been stolen. Again, the event is called March 4th on March 4th. And what date's that going to be?
Oh, I don't know. March 4th?
That's it. It'll be on March 4th. Lots of work coming out of Osberg, the student organization at Southern Oregon University. And so to recap, on March 4th, if you want to join in, be one of maybe 500 who might march down the street, what time do we gather? And let's run through that again one more time.
We're gathering at Southern Oregon University in front of the Stevenson Union Building at 4:30. We start off our march at 5 o'clock, and after that you should either see us down Siskiyou Boulevard or at the band shell in Lithia Park with our speakers and a lot of people.
Very good, very good. I thought of what I was going to ask you. It strikes me, I made a comment a minute ago about the City of Ashland and the Chamber of Commerce, but it strikes me that for the most part, our Chamber of Commerce here in Ashland is small businesses. Listen, we don't have, you know, an Intel. We don't have Ford Motor Company, and we don't have, you know, AT&T either here in Southern Oregon. In fact, this is a vibrant economy. We can talk about the recession, but I submit to you, you walk around Ashland, and most of the time things are hopping in this town. We don't see the same recession. Go to Curry County over to Brookings and take a look around over there. What I want to get to is this. Don't you think small businesses have more in common with you and me, ordinary people, when it comes to this big belly button test question about corporations are people too? What about that? Have you thought about this at all, you guys? Comments, please.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I love about Ashland is that I can walk around and run into people I know, and a lot of them are business owners. And it's just there's more integrity, and there is more compassion I see in dealing directly with the business owners in our town. I can have a conversation with them, whereas larger corporations and businesses that have these, I don't know, just undisclosed leaders that I can't have a conversation with. That is a totally different dynamic. And last night at the city council meeting, one of our Occupy Ashland folks did give a testimony specifically about that, about small business owners being hurt by money as speech. And you can look that up on the City of Ashland website. I think you can get a whole recording of the city council meeting if you want to look into some of the testimony by our own citizens here in Ashland.
Very good. Any other comments on that thought that, Henry, that it struck me a long time that the small businesses have more in common with you and me when we look at the big political picture?
Yeah, that's the thing, is the small businesses are the people of Ashland, and there's a lot more transparency with them, is that we see them, they see us, and they feel a lot of the same problems that we do. And that's the great thing about Ashland, is it's a kind of small community that really is reliant on each other. And unfortunately, a corporation isn't as reliant on the rest of the public, with a lot of its needs can be found internationally, and what it wants it may be a lot different than what is really good for the people. Whereas small businesses in Ashland really, really work with the city.
You know, one thing we need to keep in mind is that as we do, and for right reason, focus on the Bank of America and these large corporations that just really stick it to us, okay? People in our communities have jobs there. And we really have to pay attention to that, because it's not an attack on them. In fact, they're part of our community, and they need to have jobs. So, you know, when you go and you protest at the nuclear power plant, and it's the workers going into the plant, sometimes you might be talking to the wrong people. You might find a lot of them might even agree with you. So I wanted to throw that dynamic out. It's an important thing to consider, isn't it, you guys?
Yeah, I witnessed this. I went up to Portland for an Occupy event called Shut Down the Ports.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and there were a lot of workers coming in and saying, well, yeah, we support what you're doing. And there was a really interesting dynamic between the protesters and the people coming to work, because, you know, people needed to make the money to support their family. So it wasn't necessarily the workers, they couldn't do a whole lot about what the protesters were protesting. So that was an interesting dynamic. And I'm curious how on February 29th, how that's going to work out. There's also a call for shut down the corporations coming out of Occupy Portland. And Occupy Ashland, along with many other occupations across the country, are calling attention to our society's obsession with profit and greed. So there is going to be something going on in Medford on February 29th around
specifically that. Do we have that material in front of us? I think we should announce that now. I know it's going to be targeting, I mentioned Bank of America. Isn't it going to be Bank of America? Do you have the information
on that? I do. It's right in front of me. Sure. So we're meeting at Vogel Plaza 12 noon on February 29th, and then marching. Do you say it's undisclosed at this point? But I do think Bank of America is one of the locations. May split up into other places because they are targeting members of ALEC, which I don't remember what the acronym is, but it's related to I think corporate lobbying.
It really is, and I don't have that on the top of my head here right now either, but it gets back to the very same thing we've been discussing in depth this morning, and that's money in politics. And there are these blocks of corporate, greedy corporations that spend their money, and it's a good investment for them, too. You know, Henry, when you bring up the idea about how much they spend in taxes and how much they spend in lobbying, if you're a business and everything's bottom line, needs to be looked at as what's the bottom line. And lobbying and putting all that money, a lot of money, into that lobbying is an investment that pays off. They wouldn't be doing it if it didn't pay off. Isn't that right?
Exactly, and that's millions and millions in revenue that the state is never receiving that could go towards education, public work jobs, stuff like that that we really need. And that's what March 4th is all about. I can't stress it enough. March 4th on March 4th, 4:30 p.m. at SOU near the Stevenson Union Building.
Go to osberg.org and find the information on it there. Is that right?
You can find a lot of facts and information as well. The osbergstudents.org, you'll find a lot of our campaigns there on what we're doing.
And if you want to find out about events locally, you can go to occupyashland.org.
Very, very good. Very good. This is a great show. A couple of things. I hope to have you back and we can do a show down the road, and I hope we can talk about making headway and getting progress on this. We can make it better, can't we? We're going to go out in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to introduce this last song right now. We're going to do the Unemployed Folk Singers Blues by... No, we're not. Let's do this one. Let's do NPR Talking Radio Blues by Utah Phillips. And I want to say thank you to Henry and to Sarah for being our guests this morning.
Thank you for having us, Wes.
Yes, thank you, Wes.
Wonderful having you, and we'll go out with Utah Phillips, NPR Talking Radio Blues. Thanks for listening to the Brain Labor Report.
I turned on my radio and spun the dial. I thought I'd listen to some news for a while. I grabbed the knob and spun it around, got NPR. Here's what I found. Real news, hardly a trace. Just one damn marathon marketplace. The Nasdaq's up, the Dow's in the cellar. NPR sold out to Rockefeller. Hostile takeover. Real hostile. Well, I hear all about the antitrust and all the day traders who bit the dust. Mergers, buyouts, and acquisitions. Low-down crooks in high positions. Wheelers, dealers, CEOs. Fired and paid off through the nose. Buying yachts and fancy homes with bailout money from the savings and loans. And I get pissed off, that is. It's .com this and .com that, and the underwriters are getting fat on airwaves stole from you and me by a bunch of thieves called the FCC. They don't give a damn about what we want and need. They've all caved in to corporate greed and sold us out to the ruling class. Well, the whole damn bunch can dot my com. This is a family show, folks. FCC says, watch your language. English, what's yours? I got tired of being treated like a veg, so I called up my station and canceled my pledge. And in a mighty act of liberation, sent the money off to my community station. I said, I love you, but if you blow it, I'll sure as hell let you know it. I'll knock the radio off the shelf, buy a transmitter and do it myself. Whitebeard the pirate. This is radio station HOBO, broadcasting on a vagrancy of 60 to 90 days. Signing off.